Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. While the Trump campaign appeals Colorado's and Maine's decisions to keep him off those states' ballots,
a federal judge in Virginia rejecting two political activists' claims that the Constitution's insurrection clause should ban former President Trump from that state's ballots. The ruling says those citizens who brought the case didn't have standing to make the claim, not that it wasn't valid. Andy Field, ABC News.
Attacks on cargo ships have escalated in the Red Sea. U.S. warships as part of a coalition responding, says ABC's Britt Clement.
Claiming to be in protest of Israel's war against Hamas, Iranian-backed Houthi rebels inside Yemen on Thursday launching their 22nd strike on vessels in the Red Sea, a vital route for global shipping. A U.S. warship once again shooting down a drone and ballistic missile.
Vetoing a bill that would have banned gender-affirming care for minors, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, saying it's a decision that should be made by parents and their doctors. An up year for Wall Street. This is ABC News. The West Coast is in the middle of a weather washout after a massive wave crashed down on California this week. ABC's Will Carr in Ventura County, where warnings are still in effect.
A wall of water sweeping up people and vehicles in its path. That wave destroying the first floor of Judy Thomas's inn.
I mean, that's like, it was like a tsunami.
The powerful system slamming the whole West Coast, damaging businesses in Northern California's Santa Cruz County.
If you turn your back for even a split second, you can be knocked over, swept away.
At least eight people were hurt.
On Wall Street, the major indexes slipped on the final trading day of the year, but can boast surprisingly robust gains. The S&P 500 index inched lower Friday, but ended 2023 with a 24.2% gain for the year. The Dow rose more than 13% this year. The Nasdaq soared 43% for the year, driven by gains in big technology companies. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org. Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Buggyhout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's economy is ending the year in good shape. The state's unemployment rate is 3.3%. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says a record 3 million people were working in Wisconsin at the end of November. The Journal Sentinel reports that the biggest problem with Wisconsin's economy is not enough workers to fill job openings. The flu, RSV, and COVID-19 are running high in Wisconsin. Dr. Tom Haupt is Wisconsin's chief epidemiologist.
There's no indication that there's any kind of plateau going on, that we are leveling out. Everything is still on a pretty steep increase over the past few weeks.
Two children under the age of 5 died from RSV in Wisconsin last week. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team skated to a 3-0 shutout of Air Force to advance to the finals in the holiday face-off tournament at Milwaukee's Five Serve Forum. The Badgers improved to 15-4 for the season, ranked 6th in the nation. Tonight, they'll play Northeastern in the finals. Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings on what it means to bring Badgers hockey to Five Serve Forum.
You know, we represent the entire state, not just Madison. And so for us to be able to go in and share what we have here and try and go in and represent the entire state in a different zip code, Yeah, it's special.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I asked wide receiver Romeo Doubs on what to expect from Minnesota's defense.
Really experienced players on defense. You know, they love the pressure. That's been one of their biggest things throughout this year. It just comes down to us just playing good football overall. So.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low in the low 20s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries in the afternoon and evening, a high in the low 30s. Some snow showers tomorrow night, then more clouds and low 30s for Sunday. Sunshine is back for New Year's Day Monday, high near 30. It's 24 right now.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Nightlight tonight on a Friday night before New Year's Eve. Not right before New Year's Eve, but we're easing into the New Year's weekend. And Becky Pettigo, the comedian and producer, will be joining me in just a couple of minutes. As I mentioned, today is Ted Danson and Mary Tyler Moore's birthday. It's also young Don the Sauce God's birthday, the YouTube personality. He's 27. And that's the problem. When you look for birthdays now, it's all influencers. And I'm not influenced. I don't even know who they are. But a lot of people do. But the problem is, like, there's so many of them. There's just thousands of them. And I guess they get followers. Conrad, you know how many Twitter followers I have?
I remember it was something like 200 over what?
That's right, buddy. And it only took me 12 years.
Exactly.
So
12 years.
I'm averaging less. I can't do math. That's like less than what? Two followers. No, it's not two. It's like eight followers a year or something like that.
There you go.
Hey, we have to call Becky. She's having trouble. Our guest, Becky Pettigo. Here, I'm going to text her right now. Okay. There we go. So she's going to, oh, there we go. Conrad, you ready? I'm going to text you this. I have to talk to Becky Pettigo. She's a comedian and a producer, and she's just incredibly talented. And we're going to have a nice talk about show business. And then Kurt Krause is going to be here in a little bit too. A local actor and filmmaker. He's going to join us in studio, and Kurt is doing some really cool stuff and making it happen for himself right here in Northeast Wisconsin, which is pretty cool. So he'll be along in a little while. We'll see what's going on with him. And he's going to talk about some movies and some projects that he shot in Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. He kind of travels all over the place, but he works quite a bit locally. And somehow, you know, everyone says when you want to be an actor, you got to go to LA, New York, or to a lesser degree, Chicago. But Kurt is a guy, and there's a few others that make it work. They'd say, hey, I want to live here. I don't want to move. And that's what they do. They stay here, and he's making it work, and good for him. We'll talk to him. And we have a great story about how I met Kurt. So Christy Barlamont just joined me. That was fun talking about. She knows more about Green Bay than anybody. I'm amazed at how much she knows about this town. Now, she's lived here her whole life, but the nightlife, like, she should start a blog, you know, and kind of give people advice of where to go because she's just so tied in. So the other thing we were talking about, oh, by the way, tonight's question is, with Wisconsin being ranked the drunkest city in America, are you proud? Wisconsin is not the drunkest city. Green Bay is the drunkest city. Wisconsin, by way of Green Bay and seven other cities that rounded out the top 13, is considered the drunkest state in America. Green Bay is considered the drunkest city in America. So we got that going for us. So how do you feel about that, Wisconsin? The show broadcasts statewide. How do you feel? Are you proud of this statistic or are you embarrassed? Let us know. You can text us at 920-264-0606 and let us know how you feel about that. We've got Green Bay number one, Eau Claire number two, Appleton number three, Madison number four. If it weren't for Fargo, North Dakota, Wisconsin would have had the top five drunkest cities in America, but Oshkosh, Neenah were edged out by Fargo for number five. And then it's Oshkosh, Neenah. Number seven is Missoula, Montana. Grand Forks, North Dakota is at eight. Number nine is Wausau, Wisconsin. Number 10 is La Crosse, Onalaska. Number 11, Mankato, North Mankato. Really, just put Mankato. Number 12 is Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And number 13, Iowa City. So I'm noticing a pattern here, too. A lot of Fox cities, Oshkosh, Appleton, Fond du Lac. Is Fond du Lac technically the Fox Valley? I'm not sure. But Appleton, Green Bay, kind of on the north end there, and then Eau Claire way over northwest. I don't know. I think it has to do with the drinking. All these cities are like Midwest cities where it gets cold, especially North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Yeah, so there you go. So that's the question. Are you proud of Wisconsin's drinking reputation or are you embarrassed? Let us know. 920-264-0606 or text us on the app. That's easy too. So today is Mary Tyler Moore's birthday and it was Ted Danson's birthday as well. Ted Danson is 76. Mary Tyler Moore is no longer with us. She passed away in 2017. But she, I don't know if people really know this. I know they know the show, Mary Tyler Moore, obviously. Great cast. You had Mary Tyler Moore, obviously. Ed Asner, Gavin McLeod, Ted Knight, one of the funniest human beings I've ever watched on television. Cloris Leachman, Valerie Harper, Georgia Englund, Betty White. The foul-mouthed Betty White. She could swear like a sailor. So that was the cast of Mary Tyler Moore. And the show won 29 Primetime Emmy Awards, including Outstanding Comedy. And it won that 3 years in a row from 1975 to 1977. It was a little before my time, but I remember my parents watching Mary Tyler Moore. I remember Ted Baxter and how funny he was and how great he was in Caddyshack. And I remember seeing Caddyshack going, oh my God, that's the guy from Mary Tyler Moore. And I couldn't believe how funny he was. So that show was on from 1970 to 1977. It also put producer James L. Brooks on the map. And James L. Brooks went on to produce The Simpsons and a ton of other As Good As It Gets. He's an Oscar winner, Oscar nominated producer. So that was his breakthrough was the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And many people think the show changed TV as it tackled a lot of controversial subjects. Writer Tina Fey even said 30 Rock was inspired by the Mary Tyler Moore Show. So really a groundbreaking show. Very cool stuff. Do we have a clip from the Mary Tyler Moore Show? Why don't we play that, Conrad?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. While we're waiting to get Becky, let's hear from Mary Tyler Moore. This is Ted Baxter, too, is hilarious in this clip. So let's hear that.
Ted, we'd like to speak to you.
Hey, guys, my door is always open. Lou, would you mind closing the door? Sit down. What do you guys want to talk about?
Ted, this is sensational.
Dear Mr. Baxter, we'd like 400 copies of your excellent article to distribute to our students. Isn't that something? A newspaper with my writing in it being used to train students, can you imagine?
Ted, that's what we'd like to talk to you about, the article you're alleged to have written.
What do you mean, alleged? Did Murray squeal?
About what?
About my paying him $200 to write the article and him promising not to tell anyone?
No, Murray never said a word.
Oh, good, because that didn't happen.
$200, is that all you paid him?
Well, that's all they paid me.
Yeah, but the Digest is now paying you $2,500. Do you think that's fair?
No. But it's as high as they'll go.
Ted, you just admitted that Murray wrote the article. Don't you think he's entitled to share?
No, I don't, Lou. On principle.
What principle?
Let's say I paid a tailor to make these pants. If he stopped me on the street trying to take them back, I'd have him arrested. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah, but you're making a huge profit on this article.
Okay, Lou. Let's say I pay a guy to build a house, and I later sell that house for three times the amount. Who gets that money? Suppose people say, my, what a lovely house. Who accepts the compliment?
You do.
Let's face it, guys, you haven't got a leg to stand on. I'm right. Hey, isn't this great? You guys always win an argument, but not this time. This time I'm in the right. You're wrong, and I'm right. Oh, I tell you, this is a great country. You know what makes it great? Because you don't have to be witty or clever as long as you can hire someone who is.
That's so great. Mary Tyler Moore was hilarious. And Ted Baxter, I mean, Lou Grant's funny. He's kind of like this older curmudgeon. Mary Tyler Moore is hilarious. Ted Baxter's hilarious. That show took on so many issues too. And it was kind of a groundbreaking show. The young woman moves to the big city by herself. Not that that hadn't happened before, but I think that was the first time or one of the first times we saw it on TV. So that's pretty cool. And Mary Tyler Moore went on. The spinoffs from that show were incredible too. You had Rhoda, Lou Grant. I want to say Ted Baxter had his own show, a spinoff from that, but he was already kind of established. But MTM, Mary Tyler Moore Enterprises, I think it was called, they were responsible for so many other shows launching and so many female driven shows too. So Mary Tyler Moore got her television career start as Happy Hot Point, a tiny elf dancing on Hot Point appliances in TV commercials during the 1950 series Ozzie and Harriet. Mary Tyler Moore. I did see her once when I lived in LA. I was in a hotel in Beverly Hills for a meeting in the lobby. Couldn't even afford to be in the lobby, but I was there. And I walked past the elevators. The doors are closing, and there is Mary Tyler Moore. She was probably 2010, so she passed away in 2017. But she just was like one of those things. Like I never got that excited to see people, but she's such an icon. It was kind of cool that I got to see her. So anyway, it's also Ted Danson's birthday. We played a clip from Cheers. We'll try to find another clip from Cheers. And Kurt Krause, we're still trying to get a hold of Becky Pedigo. I hope we can find her because she's so funny. And I've been anxious to have her on the show. But she's having technical difficulties, I guess. So if we have to reschedule, we'll do that. But we'll still have some more fun. And we'll talk more about this drinking list. And frankly, pardon me, Conrad has lived in a suspicious amount of these cities on this list. And we'll do a deep dive. Do a deep dive into that. Conrad, what city on this list? Have you lived in Madison?
I haven't lived there, but I've visited it many times.
Have you drank there?
Yes.
Okay. So you, what about Eau Claire? You ever had a beer in Eau Claire?
Yes, I have.
All right. Now we're getting somewhere. Oshkosh, Nina. I assume you've had a cocktail.
Yeah.
In Oshkosh, Nina. Wausau?
I have not had one there, though.
Oh, see, that should be your New Year's resolution.
Dude, all the cities on the list.
Yes, but mostly have a drink in Wausau. That's just, people should just do that if they have the opportunity. And then La Crosse on Alaska. You had a drink in La Crosse?
Yes. Yep, I have.
Okay. Wow, you are banging these out. Fond du Lac?
Yep.
Okay. So, Conrad, of the 13 cities, 13 of the drunkest cities in America, eight of them are in Wisconsin. Conrad has had a drink in 7 of them. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Nightlight. The hardest working actor in Wisconsin, certainly Northeast Wisconsin, is going to join me in a few minutes. Kirk Krause will be here. He was part of a Stephen King project that is really cool, and he's going to tell us about that. We have kind of an interesting history of how we met, so we'll do a deep dive. That's my word tonight, Conrad, is deep dive. Two words,
but
we're doing deep dives into your drug problem and into this drinking list. Conrad does not have a drug problem. I know his mom listens to the show. I have to clarify that. He's actually a pretty...
Thank you for doing that.
he's had a drink in every city except one on this list, but he does not have a drug problem. So I am not here to judge my compadre. And it looks like we're not going to be able to get Becky Pettigo. That's a real bummer because she would have been a great guest, but we will reschedule her. Our phone line is down, and she's having issues on the computer. So it was not meant to be. It's an unrequited interview that we will circle back on because Becky is very talented. She's very funny, and I love having funny people on the show. So as I mentioned, it's also, today is Ted Danson's birthday. We just talked about Mary Tyler Moore. Ted Danson is a showbiz giant. The guy, you can't, there are not a lot of people who have had success with really more than one sitcom. Oftentimes they'll do one sitcom, they'll have success, and then they'll go, like Joey, from Friends. What's it? I almost called him Matt Tribbiani. It's Matt LeBlanc. He had a spinoff because Cheers was a success. And then his show, you know, might have lasted like a year or two, but they just don't have the magic. Ted Danson did Cheers, considered by many the greatest sitcom of all time. Then he did Becker. And then he had one called The Good Place. I think it was The Good Place. It was about heaven or the afterlife or something like that. Conrad's trying to show me something. What's up, buddy?
No, it's all right.
Okay. He's trying to slip me a note like we're in gym class here, doing a show here. Eating his pot brownies. Okay, no. Mrs. Krieger, I'm kidding. And it's his birthday today. Ted Danson is 76. He also did a legal, in addition to the sitcoms he's done, he did a legal drama called Damages that ran for 4 seasons. The Good Place ran for 5 seasons. He was in 3 Men and a Baby, and he was in a crime drama that I had totally forgotten about called The Onion Field, which was a really underrated movie, just like Body Heat, that he was in with William Hurt in 1981 and Kathleen Turner. And I guess I'm looking at his credits here, Saving Private Ryan. I don't remember him in that, but he was also really good on an episode of Fargo. If you're looking for something to binge, this is another big binge weekend upon us here. So if you're looking for something to binge, I highly recommend Ted Danson shows. But Body Heat is a great movie. At least I remember it as being great. Conrad, do you ever have a show like that? You kind of remember it, then you go back to it. Right, Happy Days was that for me. As a kid, I watched Happy Days. And I thought the Fonz was like the coolest guy in the world. And then I watched it as an adult. And I'm like, oh, dear. You have a show like that?
I guess I would say some of the... I would say... First time I watched How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, you love that show.
Yeah, and yeah. The first time I saw Barney Stinson, I thought he was hilarious.
Okay.
Keep watching it. I've probably watched it 9 times through now, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
But now it's like, wow, he's not a great person.
It just occurred to you. Wait a minute, I don't like this show.
But I was like 16 when I first watched it, so it was a little different than when I was 24.
Okay, that's fair. But Fargo, if you're looking for something to binge this weekend, Fargo, I think it's the second season with Patrick Wilson and Ted Danson. Really good stuff. And Ted Danson, it's amazing that he can go from Sam Malone to Becker, to all, and then play a small town sheriff. And you're just like, you still kind of lose yourself in his performance. Like, he's that good of an actor. I'm also watching Reacher right now. This has nothing to do with Ted Danson, but it's not really working for me. And I talked with this, I talked about this with Rob Thomas the other night, because he's a Reacher fan. And I just, the second season here is not really cutting it for me. What are you going to watch this weekend, Conrad? You got anything lined up?
Definitely a lot of football. Nothing in the stream world, probably, but football and basketball.
Do you know that I stream my football?
You stream, like, through...
You can stream your football. That's the only way I do it now. And it's,
Peacock. I mean, through YouTube TV, I do it.
Peacock. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Certainly YouTube TV, mm-hmm. but Peacock and Paramount Plus. I think they have the CBS games.
Yep.
And, it's great. So we're talking about Ted Danson. Let's play. Do we have that clip from Cheers? We played one earlier. Let's play that other one.
Ooh, looky. There's Diane and her date back from the weekend.
thanks for dropping me off, Walter. Bye-bye.
You want to hear me do it one last time?
No, Walter. I have to get to work now.
28. Why don't you introduce me to your coworkers? I'm sure they'd get a bang out of this.
Oh, I don't really think that, hello, Sam. Walter Franklin, Sam Malone.
How do you do? 10.
He's able to tell you instantly how many letters there are in any sentence you say.
66. Well, that's quite a gift.
15.
Been at it all weekend.
How many days did it seem like?
24.
Listen, Walter, I have to go to work now. Thanks again for a lovely weekend.
Two sentences, 30 and 28.
Stop doing that, Walter.
19.
I mean it.
7. Well, really, that's enough of this now. I better get going. Goodbye, Diane. Nice seeing you, Sam.
Yeah.
4.
By the way, Walter.
14. Yes, Sam. What is it?
How was Diane on a scale of 100?
29.
That's great stuff.
Quite a catch.
So that's Ted Danson. It's his birthday today. And we could do a whole show just on Ted Danson stuff. And we will if we have guests fall out frequently like we did tonight. I ended up talking about Ted Danson more than I wanted to, but that's okay. It's better that it's Ted Danson's birthday today, so I could elaborate more on Ted Danson than if it was like, you know, I don't know, Ricky from Silver Spoon's birthday. You can only go so far with that. So I just got another text here. Secretly proud, we can drink the rest of the country under the table. Secretly proud. Just be out there, man. Conrad's accepted it. He's done the bar crawl in all these towns. I've had a few drinks too. When I did stand up, I'd work Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Appleton. I worked them all. And you end up, you know, I've had a drink probably in all these cities too. Now look, I don't know if I've ever been to La Crosse. I know it's beautiful. I've been through there. Yeah. I probably had a beer while I was driving through, actually, now that I think about it. Conrad, you still here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So when we come back, we are going to talk to a local actor and filmmaker, Kurt Krause. He'll be here, and I'm anxious to catch up with Kurt. He is a really hardworking guy, and he's going to answer show. There's a lot of people, even around here, that want to be actors. This isn't Broadway. This isn't L.A., but he's making it happen here, and we'll talk to Kurt, and that'll be fun. And this is Pete Schwabba. And the show is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work all day. When will I learn? Memories get in the way. I walk around. I can't hear a sound. Folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. While the Trump campaign appeals Colorado's and Maine's decisions to keep him off those states' ballots,
a federal judge in Virginia rejecting two political activists' claims that the Constitution's insurrection clause should ban former President Trump from that state's ballots. The ruling says those citizens who brought the case didn't have standing to make the claim, not that it wasn't valid. Andy Field, ABC News.
Attacks on cargo ships have escalated in the Red Sea. U.S. warships as part of a coalition responding, says ABC's Britt Clement.
Claiming to be in protest of Israel's war against Hamas, Iranian-backed Houthi rebels inside Yemen on Thursday launching their 22nd strike on vessels in the Red Sea, a vital route for global shipping. A U.S. warship once again shooting down a drone and ballistic missile.
Vetoing a bill that would have banned gender-affirming care for minors, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, saying it's a decision that should be made by parents and their doctors. An up year for Wall Street. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden called the recently passed former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl one of the finest people he ever worked with. State Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler.
The only person that he was working for was you, the voter. It wasn't about special interests or about big money donors or anything else. He was there to do the work because he loved Wisconsin and he wanted to lift Wisconsin up.
Flags around Wisconsin are lowered to half staff until after Kohl's funeral. He died Wednesday after a brief illness. Kohl was 88. Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstedt is filing a petition with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to try and keep Donald Trump's name off Wisconsin's presidential ballots next year. The commission has already rejected the petition, though it is likely to end up in the courts. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to a low in the low 20s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries in the afternoon and evening, a high in the low 30s. Some snow showers tomorrow night, then more clouds and low 30s for Sunday. Sunshine is back for New Year's Day Monday, high near 30. Right now it's 22.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
back to Nightlight. Gorgeous night, downtown Green Bay. It is every night. And it is every night I get to do this show and talk to the listeners, talk about showbiz. What better way to close out the show than to talk show business? And now it is my pleasure to welcome, speaking of show business, a local actor and filmmaker, Kurt Krause. Kurt, hey.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
He's in studio, folks.
Thanks for having me.
You made the drive.
Absolutely.
The long drive. Not that long, but yeah, it's great to have you. Thanks for being with us. I don't know what you know about Nightlight, but we talk about show business and fun Wisconsin stuff. And, you know, and you were like one of the first people that came to mind when I thought of this show, because you are entrenched, man. You are like boots on the ground for the local indie film scene and acting scene. So, and I should tell people, I met Kurt. I made a film 20 years ago this year. We shot in Marinette, called The Godfather of Green Bay. And you were an extra. I'll let you take it from here, because you probably remember. I was out of my mind then trying to corral an entire movie set. But you've welcome to chime in here, buddy. That was
it was amazing. And that was really the door that I got to enter through, through you and through the casting. So, yeah, super grateful. It was, I tell you what, 3 days on set, because it is a lot of hurry up and wait. I had been a stage actor to that point, and that was my introduction into film. And
oh, wow.
In those days, I thought, you know, this was a good experience, but I don't know how people can do this 13, 14 hours, you know, on your feet. And
different energy than stage, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it opened a lot of doors. And within, you know, I'd say within 10 years after that, I was making films of my own. And yeah.
That's so cool that you reached out to me once on Facebook and told me you were an extra in the film. And I'm like, oh, that's so great. We've been friends ever since. So. You were like 18 then too, right?
Yep. I was a senior in high school.
And you were an extra.
Yeah.
Okay. What scene were you in? Do you remember?
We were in mostly in like the bar scenes where there was dancing. I think one of the open mics because of the stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
So with Doug D-U-G and
Tom Lennon.
Tom Lennon.
So I'll give listeners a little background. The film basically is a reverse, two comedians from LA. I play the lead role. My buddy Lance Barber in the film, who is the dad on Young Sheldon and will be on the show one of these days. We road trip to Wisconsin because the talent booker for The Tonight Show comes back home every year to deer hunt and hangs out at his buddy's roadside bar where they do comedy. So we road trip to Wisconsin to get seen for The Tonight Show. We shot a lot of nights in a bar, and it was really fun because after we were done shooting, the windows were all closed up and we would just stay there and party the night away. So that was really fun. I hope you got to partake in some of that, even though you were pretty young.
Yeah, so... It was such a chill dynamic that when we were close to wrap, I mean, everybody was just super great.
Yeah.
Lauren Holly was incredibly gracious.
Yeah.
And was just, you know, we weren't supposed to be there as fans, but obviously she, you know, took pictures with us and
she was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauren and Tony Goldwyn was great. When I got back to LA after shooting that, he told a couple other people that were associated with the film or other films that he worked on where people that worked on our film work. He said that was the most fun I've ever had on a movie set.
That's awesome.
Now that's 20 years ago. He probably eclipsed that since then. But for then, I took that as a little victory. It was a fun set.
Absolutely.
So, but let's talk about you and where you're at now. So you said you really started making your own films about 10 years ago, and you got a really cool thing going right now with Stephen King's name attached to it. Tell us a little bit about that, Kurt.
So that film was called The Last Rung on the Ladder, and tonight is actually a very exciting night for us because we are burning this onto DVDs and sending it to the King Organization tomorrow.
So you're done.
So it is done.
The film is done.
It is finished.
And it is a short film, a feature film. What are you looking at?
So this is a short film adaptation from his short story, The Last Rung on the Ladder, and through what's called the Dollar Baby Program, we, for a dollar, will buy the rights, and we have it for a year. So that you write it, you shoot it. It's in some ways it feels so fast moving, like a 48-hour film festival, because you got to get the stuff shot and out. And
wow.
So I came on, we had an extension. So I came on midway through the second extension and just kind of as I had the producer hat on and I said, this is what I'm seeing that needs to be done in order to get it done on time. And it worked.
Wow.
Somehow, so some way.
One of the challenges to making movies is finding good source material. And you're rolling with Stephen King on a short film. I think you're doing okay. That's pretty cool.
Well, hopefully he likes it because, again, it is an adaptation from his work. So there's only a number of these that go out every year that people get. They get the dollar baby contract and do it. So you always hope that you do something that he's going to really enjoy.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
But he's going to watch what you did. That's so cool.
And we are like the, I shared this in an email with you. We're actually the last of the dollar babies because this program will not continue in 2024. So we didn't know it at the time. I mean, obviously we had our deadline and we went for it, but we didn't know that we would be the tail end of this, that something that he'd been offering for so long, they're just continuing. So it's a very niche thing that,
yeah,
you know, in a really cool,
it's called
cool
the
window.
Dollar Baby program.
Yep.
And how many of these movies are being made? Do you have any idea, like, how many people are actually taking part in it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
They only grant a number of them per year. So
okay.
It is pretty limited.
Kind of a smart thing for Stephen King to do too, because he's just got all these short stories. Maybe someone will option one, but the guy's written so much and he's so prolific. Not everything he made is going to get turned into a movie. So why not put it out there and see what you come up with? Maybe you'll knock his socks off and the next thing you know, you're doing a feature film, right?
Here's hoping. and that's actually one of the cool sells with this program. One of the directors of the Dollar Baby short film ended up directing a number of his feature films
with
the big budgets. So I've heard it growing up that Stephen King didn't like a majority of the films that were made from his stories. So that when we go back and forth, like why offer the opportunity? It may be that a young filmmaker with their creativity and not getting, you know, too budgeted out, too busy, loses the heart of maybe what he was trying to say in that story.
It's so great because you're like, you're shooting something that was written by one of the greatest writers of the last 100 years. I mean, he wrote Shawshank Redemption. Like, I always associated him as like a horror writer. And I'm not a huge fan of horror. I've seen some of his movies and they're great. And I've read a few of his books when I was younger. But when he did Shawshank Redemption, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this guy is just one of the greatest writers ever, especially if they can adapt that into a movie. That's just amazing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And I mean, there isn't a dry eye in the room when you watch The Green Mile. And that was also
Stephen King. Too. That's right. Wow. Well, hopefully, what is your film called again?
So this one's called The Last Rung on the Ladder.
The Last Rung on the Ladder. Am I going to cry if I watch it?
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope there's tears of joy. I'm talking with Kurt Krause. He is a local Northeast Wisconsin and Wisconsin actor and filmmaker. And it's fun to have you here because I host another show about independent films, many of which are shot in Wisconsin, but I don't feel like I'm really part of the independent film scene. You are. What is it like in Wisconsin right now for indie filmmakers?
It has definitely grown in just obvious ways, I'd say, in the last 10 years, to where there's just so much more opportunity here than there was. When we shot Godfather or Green Bay, independent film seemed so few and far between that when you were actually on a radio program that I was listening to and you were being interviewed about your film. And for me, that was the most exciting day because I was like, holy cats, there's film in Wisconsin.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
You want to hear a funny story? I never thought, you know, I decided to shoot The Godfather of Green Bay in Marinette. I had to convince the producers, who were a couple of LA guys. They wanted to shoot it on a soundstage at first. I'm like, oh, you can't fake authenticity in an indie film. We got to go there. We got to find a way to make it work. And he goes, well, if you can find a way to house a crew of 60 people and actors, I'm all for it, Pete. Well, I go to Marinette to a local guy named John Hofer, who ran the hospital, the marketing department of the hospital, and they made it work. He put his feelers out in the community. We couldn't have done it without him. And so that's how we made it work. And that's what you do when you shoot an independent film. And that probably saved us $100,000. So, and then, you know, you got to convince everybody else to come and be part of your film, which is no easy task, as I'm sure you learned too. So it was just a great experience shooting that here in Northeast Wisconsin and coming home here to do it. What is it like in Northeast Wisconsin right now, just as an actor and a filmmaker? Is the climate pretty good? Are there a lot of projects happening for young actors?
You know, Green Bay, I've seen, you know, in this past year, there's been a few, you know, smaller time projects. You get up into, you know, places like Door County, where I'm from, and it's every now and then somebody's up there doing something, but it's, you know, early on, it's like you got a car if you're willing to travel. So, you know, I get down to Milwaukee, Madison, and a lot of Chicago.
Okay.
And, but yeah, it's, you know, if you're willing to travel and, you know, if be flexible with your schedule, you can make a lot happen.
Which you have to be, right? You can't live in Door County and say, I'm only working on projects that shoot in Door County, right? You'll starve. It's hard enough eating as an actor. Oh, and what I meant to tell you with the Marinette connection is I never thought I'd be in another movie. My buddy Mike McGuire shot another film there called Aquarians in 2017, I think.
Okay.
He's like out in LA now doing producing, and he's also a native son of Marinette. And he's like, hey, we need local actors. You want to audition? I'm like, yeah. So I got another opportunity. But I would think a lot of films shoot in Green Bay. There's kind of a good scene here. I know Gags the Clown, Adam Krause's film was shot here. And then tell me about, you were also in Room 108, The Clearing. That got some press. Where is that at, and what was that like working on that project?
So I think, besides going out to festivals, and I think it's being well received. Freddie Maiano, the director, he's awesome. But he's a shaker and a mover. And one of the things that really impressed me with that film, and I tell him this when I see him, that I've never seen somebody get everybody involved in like the historical society. I mean, he got everybody on board to shoot a film that's at least partially a period piece. And
that's nuts.
The train museum to, the Meyer Theater. He got all of these really cool locations. And again, the guy's got a heart of gold, and I think people understand where he's going, what he's doing, but I've never seen somebody be able to pull all of that together the way he did. And that was very impressive.
That's a huge undertaking. And you're right about Green Bay. I remember going to a screening of Gags the Clown, and Adam Krause spoke to the crowd afterwards at the Meyer Theater. And they said, how come you didn't showcase the Packers more? Or did you think about showcasing the Packers more in the movie? And he said, you know what? Green Bay's got so many great locations. The Packers get enough attention. They're the king of the town, no question. But Green Bay has a lot more to offer filmmakers and indie filmmakers in this vicinity. And he tried to showcase that, and he did very well. So I agree. And that's pretty interesting that you can shoot a period piece on an indie budget just because of what's available to you around here location-wise. So when is that film coming out, Kurt?
So I don't have an absolute timeline on that one.
Okay.
So I know that he's already started shooting the second one.
What's the genre of it? Is it a mystery? Or I know you said period piece, but what's going on
there?
It's
kind of like a thriller, time warp. It's tough to explain because
it's an adult film, isn't it?
Just it's not an adult. I mean, maybe it fits kind of into experimental.
Oh, okay.
Because you're watching it as they're kind of exploring a mystery. It's a local legend of supposedly a notorious killer, but you kind of reverse it and you start to see him more as a hero as they're traveling through space and time. So sometimes it jumps to the future. Sometimes it kind of takes you back to the modern storyline. Yeah. And other times you're back in, I think, like the 1920s.
That has a little bit of a Stephen King sound to it too, actually.
A little
bit. Now that you hear it discussed like that. I'm trying to think. We got to go to a break. Can you hang out for 60 seconds? We got to do a little bit of business.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Are you having fun talking to me, Kurt?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
I love having you here. Real quick before we go to break, who are your favorite actors and who are your influences as an actor?
So Robert De Niro, 100%.
Okay.
Johnny Depp had a real, real positive impact because, again, when you got the opportunity to work with one of your idols and they treat you well, and the very first thing he did was he came and introduced himself to all of us who were
on set. Were you in Dillinger as an extra?
Yeah, I was.
With Johnny Depp? Okay. Hold that thought. That's where we're going to pick up when we come back. I'm talking with local actor and filmmaker Kurt Krause. It's so great. He's here in the studio on this beautiful night in downtown Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, I'm gonna dig up little girl.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right. And the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Jahnke, on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Hanging out here with local actor and filmmaker Kurt Kraus, who is a very busy guy. You seem to work a lot. I see all your social media posts. You're always in something new. I really admire you pounding the pavement, so to speak, as a filmmaker and an actor. Good for you.
I appreciate that. It's the whole a whole level of crazy, as you know well. But
yeah, and that's part of the fun, right? It's just, you know, that energy and enthusiasm and charisma for making artistic stuff, right?
You know, when you're a kid and you're dreaming of being able to do what you love one day, yeah. I mean, for me, it was just like I was so blessed to have that opportunity. And so I never wanted to slow down for
it. Yeah.
We all know what happens when you become a little complacent or comfortable.
Right.
It can be a dangerous thing. So
absolutely. So we were talking about Johnny Depp before the break. So you were on Public Enemies and he was there and he was very cool. Expand,
super cool.
Please.
Yeah. So I came while they were filming in Oshkosh, the bank robbery scenes. I came in to be on second team, so I was a stand-in one of the Dillinger gang, and we would do run the rehearsals, with all the blocking, with camera lighting, because you had multiple camera crews there, so you'd run this thing like 12, 14 times, and then you know we get out of the way, and then you have the Johnny Depps and the Spencer Garretts coming in, and then they shoot that with the crew, and again to get the take. They themselves are going to do it 12 more times before
yeah.
that's the take, especially in these big shootouts. So, but yeah, we got to set, and the very first day that Johnny Depp arrived on set, he came and introduced himself to everybody who was new, just as
very cool.
nice and as kind as you know, conversation here, and yeah, just a super good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you get to meet Michael Mann?
I did.
He went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I don't know if you knew
he's the alum, yeah.
Love that guy.
So Michael Mann, I mean, obviously, he was under a lot of, you know, stress and time.
Yeah, you guys didn't
too.
Go bowling together,
we
but I mean,
bowling,
he got a chance to.
I did get yelled at by Michael Mann.
Oh, nice! And, tell us.
So, he has all of us, you know, piled into this gangster car because again, we're stand-ins for the Dillinger gang, and he's working with the DP, and they're mounting this camera on the front of the car because they're going to get that shot actually driving around, so. I was trying to explain to him because again he's in his zone, and I was trying to
yeah.
explain to him my guy's already been shot, so I shouldn't be in the car. So I was standing in for
oh,
Spencer
dude,
Garrett.
Nice.
Spencer Garrett got shot, of course, in the film. So I should really be on the sidewalk, not in the car. So you know, at that point, everybody was moving, you know, just miles a minute type deal, so anyway. He's just throwing bodies in the car. So so I'm there, and he's telling us then to, you know, we should be shooting out and reacting and to see how that looks. So I was making gunshot noises, which I guess was really, really kind of ticking him off, you know. And so at one point he looks
here,
up,
I was about to say he should give you a line for catching that continuity as you. Oh, yeah.
So yeah, he's all of a sudden he's peering over his glasses at me, and the guy doesn't look happy at all. And I'm like, do you want me to use a different gun? And he says, we need a whole lot less actor out of you and a whole lot more stand-in.
Oh, like, man.
Okay. So,
oh wow.
So then he's like, which guy are you standing in for? And I said, it's, you know, Spencer Garrett. And then, of course, then it kind of all comes together. I shouldn't even be in this car. And he looks up from the camera again and he says, "Get the hell out of here." So I jumped out of the car. And then he gives you that smile that lets you know, hey, you know, you're okay. You know,
okay, one that's of those good. Things.
Yep. So I think he's kind of like a football coach. You know, he wears the game face, but then yeah. I think there's a very good heart there.
And he makes great films. I mean, I don't love all of them, but I really like most of them. And the guy's a giant, you know, so that's pretty cool.
Last of the Mohicans, you know, to this day,
yeah,
really holds to the test of time.
Absolutely. And the movie Collateral with Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise, one of my all-time favorites, almost a flawless film, in my opinion, and especially in that genre. But, okay, so, Kurt, you're an actor. You want to do as many projects as you can. I assume you want to do bigger projects if they become available to you. As an actor, do you say to yourself, do you have that conversation where you're like, I've got to stay here or I want to stay here, even though it might, you know, limit how far I can go as an actor? Or do you say, I'm going for it. I'm going to Chicago, LA, New York, whatever. How does that work? How will you navigate the acting field, so to speak, from Northeast Wisconsin?
I think just trying to stay open and available to that idea that if that opportunity came, I might be gone for a time. So it is, I mean, even now it's a lot of time on the road because besides working in the Midwest, I'll usually get out to Vegas once a year, down to Miami on some different projects. And so it's just, you know, kind of knowing your suitcase is packed.
Yeah.
You might be gone next week. It makes dating hard because you can't really commit to anything too far down the road. You have to keep yourself open, but also, you know, there is the life element too, and trying to balance.
Is this sort of like, do you deal with like, wow, I'm dating an actor, and 3 months later, it's like, oh my God, I'm dating an actor. sounds glamorous, but.
No, we're all a pretty neurotic bunch. I think that's pretty
fair. Yeah, sure, that's fair.
It's a part of the craft.
But you have no plans to like, you've made this your home base, so you're going to do what you can living here in terms of acting. Oh, that's good for you. It's good that you know that too. Like, I know people that struggle with, God, even when I was in Chicago, do I stay here? Do I go to New York? Do I go to LA? But, you know, I think in some ways you probably have an opportunity to do things here in Wisconsin or Northeast Wisconsin that help you, that you wouldn't have other places. You get to actually make films and be in them.
100%.
In a professorial role or acting role. So,
I mean, we've talked about this before, but there's now that incentive called Film Green Bay, where they have this program set up through a 501c3 to bring filmmaking into Green Bay.
Oh, fantastic.
And, yeah, so there's, you know, if you get the right system in place for fundraising and getting, you know, donors and you get a good solid base.
Yeah.
You know, more and more you can be paying people what they're worth. You can hire in talent that you'd like to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Lead in your movies. And it really is building up the art here in Green Bay. So it's really cool seeing things like that. You know,
that is really cool. So we have about 30 seconds. Favorite location to shoot at in Green Bay and favorite location to shoot at statewide in 20 seconds.
So statewide, I'll say Venue 404 was the bank that we filmed Public Enemies for, that bank robbery scene. And we did later on then did a scene there with Last Rung on the Ladder. And it's also going to be our premier location. So it's a really cool space. You go and you're going to see these huge prints from Public Enemies.
Yeah.
It's a cool place. Yeah.
Listen, keep up the great work. I admire you. Keep up.
Thank you.
Keep those posts coming too. It was great having you on the show. Please come back again soon. Okay.
Will do.
Awesome.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you for listening tonight. We'll be back next Thursday with a full 2-hour show, but Tuesday and Wednesday we will have our shows, and Monday we will have a best of. We hope you have a happy new year. And this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
We here at WBZH The Buzz have partnered with the Hayward Chamber of Commerce to remind you to shop local this holiday season. Small local businesses are the lifeblood of the community, and preserving them is key to preserving those things we most enjoy about the Northwoods. Small businesses are the first in local employment and charitable giving, and shopping local is the best way to stimulate a small-town economy. The Hayward Chamber of Commerce and WBZH The Buzz are especially thankful to those who choose local small businesses first this holiday season.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.